and got out this morning, and coming down this drove, we saw some sheep, a couple of dozen sheep or more, in between the fences, like the drove, and each side there were sheep in, you know, corn fields, if you like. So I said, oh, they look like they've escaped, and then we saw a sort of a bit of a hole in the fence on the gate. Anyway, cut the story short, we rounded these out and opened the gate and put them into this field. Got back to the farm and said to the foreman, we saw these sheep that have escaped. He said, yeah, what did you do? He said, we put them in your, they don't call it a field, right, anyway. Said, oh no, he said, that's them bloody things from the next station. These were all merinos, which were the top registered quality sheep, and these others were scabby things. And he said, come on, we've got to go and cut them out and get rid of them. I don't know crossbreeding with that. So we thought we were being clever, and we weren't. But they used to go out and catch a sheep, put it in a barrow, cut his throat, bleed it, and we'd have it for dinner that night.
Significant real thought.
Already.
How long were you in Australia all in all?
Well, I got out there, early 1945. January, I assume. We should have been out there in December. And I stayed out there. Well, after the war, I went down to Melbourne and did a course with Owen. Where did I go? I'd come back from Manus and went to Melbourne. Start again. Oh, I went to Hong Kong, which had then been, you know, liberated. Again in a communications office, the usual sort of thing. And then I joined the Belfast, and we went on a cruise. This is showing the flag, as they call it, going around different ports and things, doing all the...
When did you join the Belfast?
It would have been 1945. No, the war finished in September, didn't it?
I think August.
Eh?
UK days in August.
Yeah. I think it was September, was it? Well, anyway, it was give or take. I was still up on Manus, anyway. So that was 45, wasn't it? So, would have been 46 I joined the Belfast.
Where was she when you joined her?
In Hong Kong. She carried the flag. By Stanmore, whatever his name was.
And what position did you hold on the Belfast?
I was a yeoman.
Can you explain what a yeoman is?
Petty officer, signalman.
And what were your first impressions of the Belfast?
She was not a big battleship, and she wasn't a small destroyer. She was in the middle. What was good that we did, we toured the Far East. We went, you know, from Hong Kong, went up the Yangtze to Nanking. Had my 21st birthday there. So that meant that was September, and that would have been 1946. So I had my 21st birthday in Nanking. Okay. Remember, the next day my mates decided they were going to see Sun Yat-sen's tomb. I don't want to see Sun Yat-sen's tomb. I got hangover anyway from yesterday. But they dragged me, they actually carried me ashore. And we got there, and there's this miles of steps, God knows how many, wide steps going right out the top. And you had to go up there to look over to see his tomb, you know, whatever. So that was that. Then we come back down again, and while we were coming back down, the communists were firing across the Yangtze from one side to the other people on the other side. So as we were going through, these bullets, not shells, but, you know, they were spasmodic, they weren't doing any harm. So we got back up to Shanghai, and then we went up to a whole lot of places up the east coast of China, up as far as Jinwangtao, which was near the Great Wall of China and near Beijing, or whatever they call it now. And then we went around Japan to the Hokkaido in the north and Kure, all the different places in Japan. And then we came back to Hong Kong, I suppose. Then we went down to Malaya and went up to Penang and Kuala Lumpur and places and all around there. But so we did quite a few trips there. And then I was put off, because they were over a compliment, I was put off in Singapore. And again, I worked in a distribution office there for quite a long time. And here's a little story. I was rumbosing there. I was very often rumbosing in wherever I went. Someone is elected to be rumbosing. They have to go at 11 o'clock or whatever the time is and collect their rum. They have what we call a mess fanny. It's like an aluminium kettle or whatever. And they measure it all out, all very, you know, tight. And you come back down to the mess. You come back down to the mess and you put out the glasses and you have a top measure and you measure them all out exactly. That's the first part of duty. Then when they come down for their tots, you remember them, of course you know all their names, so John Smith, yeah, you know, and he gives you what we call sippers, and you, like that, so you get that from everybody, and because some people are called squeaky lips, in other words, which I was called, so I was rumbosing quite often, and in Singapore, I was rumbosing there, and there was a hell of a lot on the list, because it was like a big barrack sort of place. All the sippers I used to have, I had a whale of a time. So that was Singapore. That's what I remember about Singapore. And I got my first beer there as well.
Can we talk a little bit about the Belfast?
Yeah.
What's the happy ship compared to the other ships that you'd served on?
I can't recall not being on a happy ship. I've always felt, you know, I mean, you make the best of a problem, not the worst of it. Yes, she was very, very well organised. Quite a lot of, for want of another word, social activity and organisation. Because, it was the first ship I'd been on after the end of the war. It was like a different sort of thing. You'd have organised sports and things like that, you know. If you go visiting these ports, you'd probably play someone a hockey or something, you know, that type of thing. Yeah, I can't think of anything about it that I didn't like. I'm just trying to think of any. Having been on it twice, I get the two things crossed.
What about the living arrangements? Can you tell me about those?
Well, they're different to what they are there today, because they've gone into, because we had hammocks and traditional messes and all that sort of thing. They were conventional that I, as I knew about the Navy, and I can't, apart from enjoying, because when you went into port, you know, you had entertainment both ways with the local authorities, and you know, you have football matches and things of that nature, getting to, you know, to get together, and everyone was, you know, quite enjoying it. It was having a cruise, you know, without being paid for.
What about the arrangements of the messes and things like that?
Well, you see, messes, whatever ship you went on, basically were all exactly the same principle. You had a table and a form each side. And at the end, where the table come to the bulkhead, you'd have a cabinet to store your crockery and everything else.
This time you were a yeoman signal, and you were the chief petty officer, as it were.
I was the yeoman, yeah. Well, we had, in our messes, we had tables, of course. But you'd have...
Would you be the chief petty officer's mess?
No, I wasn't. I was in the petty officer's mess. Sometimes chiefs and petty officers have the same mess, quite often. You'd have messmen who would come and serve on you like waiters, generally. You had messmen who would do all the washing and cleaning. You didn't have to do anything. Once you were a petty officer, then that was it you were waiting on, like a sergeant in a sergeant's mess. In fact, if we were mixed up with the army, you'd be in the sergeant's mess anyway.
So that was something that was different.
In what way? Oh, because I was a petty officer, oh yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to think whether I was a petty officer then or whether it was a career. I think in the first time at Belfast I was a leading SIG. Again, I would be in charge of the mess and someone else would do the running around. I'd just make sure they got their run. I was a leading signalman then, must have been. Yes, because I was 21 then, was I, in the Belfast? Yeah. And I wasn't a yeoman until I was about 25. So anyway, we finished with the Belfast. I was in Singapore and I went home on a troop ship. Oh, I got into something there. It was myself, another PO. What were POs then or Killicks? I can't, whatever. And an army sergeant. And we worked it out that like everyone who wanted their dobing done, washing, you know, there was no facilities. So we organised it to take over the ship's laundry and offer a laundry service. And we done well, didn't we? Three of us.
Was it your first time on Belfast? Or second?
This wasn't on Belfast, this was the troop ship coming home. Yeah. So that was good. And so I came home. Let's have a break there a minute. Sort of getting home from the Far East in, that's 1947. I met a local girl in Glastonbury where I was living at the time and got married in 1948. I spent some time on can you stop it a minute? Yeah, I got it. Yeah. I came back and I joined another corvette which did mainly sea training for I joined a corvette and we were mainly involved with training submarine ASDIC operators and all that and going around Europe, British Isles, blah, blah, blah. And then I got the draft to Sasebo on what was the Ladybird, was the shore base there.
When was it?
For the Korean War of 1950, wasn't it?
How did you at the beginning? Time between 1947 and 1950?
Well, mainly I was on... I was on a signal station in Devonport Dockyard. That's a visual signal station, based ashore, as it were. I was in the reserve fleet, and I was on this frigate for... Hey, come on, I didn't know you were doing it. That was a bit cheeky, wasn't it, eh? Yeah, that was it in a nutshell, and there was nothing particularly happened there, that, and it's not the Belfast anyway, so I'm jumping through that, as it were. So I joined the Sasebo, which was the headquarters of the Navy, the US and British and other Navy. It was the base opposite Korea. Have you heard of Sasebo, wouldn't you? Yeah. So I was based ashore there. And I periodically went up, joined the Belfast in Sasebo, and went up to the west coast, up Korea.
Had the Korean War started by this stage?
Oh, it had just started. I got out there because we flew out there. Yes, we flew, of course, it was at the beginning of it, so I can't remember. It was 1950 anyway. Joined the Belfast for these trips up to the west coast for bombarding with the Admiral. The Admiral joined at the same time in Sasebo.
Do you remember the Admiral's name?
No. I know I don't, because I tried to remember it and I was scribbling those notes. If somebody mentioned it, I'd remember the name, but in fact, I was the second in command. That was his title. But I can't remember. Well, it wasn't Jeremy Black. He was only a midshipman on the Belfast at that time. And I didn't know him as a midshipman anyway. But I used to go out to... one of the things I do remember is the ice floes up there, in the winter, and these sort of ice floes, like mini icebergs, would come float down and bang against the side of the ship all day and night, and echo through the ship, ting, bang, when you were trying to sleep.
Do you remember any specific incidents when you were on patrol with the boss?
Well, as Admiral's yeoman, I would be stationed on the Admiral's bridge, and the Admiral would, from time to time, obviously come up there and watch and see what's happening, and I'd be generally stood next to him discussing, and or as I was a young person and my eyesight was better than his as an elderly person. So I was, you know, amplifying some of the things he was seeing, mainly observing the bombardment. And you could see the odd shells coming our way, and they splashed a long way before they got to us, so they were never going to hit us. But that's it. We'd be patrolling up and down that west coast of Korea. A couple of times we went in or off Incheon or somewhere in South Korea, and I went ashore with dispatches and things like that. Remember being entertained very well by the army. Nothing more to be said. So basically that was it, and I don't know how many times I went up there.
How frequent were these patrols?
Well, it lasted for 2 years, didn't it? Well, we were up there for 2 years. I would think on average about every couple of months. I could be wrong. I mean, there wasn't like every 2 months. There might be 2 months between one and 4 months or 3 months between the other, and that's 2 weeks between some. It was irregular.
Do you remember any specific incidents while you were on patrol? When the Belfast came under attack, for example?
I wasn't on board her when she had that attack, when they killed the Chinese chappie, or the Chinese Mustang. No, other than we were spotting, because the coast is quite high, you know, above sea level, like a ridge. And at the top of the ridge were all these gun emplacements that belonged to the North Koreans. And they would be lobbing at us all the time. Our task was to shoot them and knock them out, which is what we were doing. So we were in an observing capacity, primarily. I can't think of anything else that...
Were there any fitness sorties which were launched from Belfast? I mean, did you have Marines on board or anything like that?
did we?
Ever had Royal Marines on board?
We had Marines on board, but they never did anything. I mean, they were just the conventional Marines that cruisers have.
I mean, additional forces.
No, not at any of the time I was on board. No, not nor when I wasn't. I wasn't aware of anything. It's really sad because I can't honestly give you anything of any interest that I can recall in the whole of that 2 years.
Can we talk about the organisation of the Belfast?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps by rank. Mm-hmm. You mentioned there was an admin on board because you were flagship.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, the admiral would come on board and go off. He might put his flag on another ship. And I think he may have used the Kenya a couple of times. So he went on whatever ship he wanted to, and that became the flagship when he was on it. But they weren't the flagship unless he was on it.
And do you remember who the captain was at the time?
No, these are things I find great difficulty in remembering.
And did you have any particular dealings with anybody on board outside of signals? Can you remember any stories about anybody?
No, it was. I just get the feeling that it was all work, you know, that things were going on all the time. There were no, for want of another word, natural breaks. You know, you went out there and you bombarded and you went out and you came back again and backwards and forth. And then you returned to Sasebo and carried on with communications ashore there until the next time the Admiral wanted to go up the coast.
So you were by now a yeoman?
Yes.
Signalman?
Yes. I was a yeoman. I was a yeoman when I arrived in Sasebo.
How did being of that rank, what did that mean in terms of your duties at that stage?
Well, you had more responsibility, including when you were duty yeoman, you would be waiting on the captain, as it were. You would be taking the signals to him on a pad like this. And you would supply him with his signals immediately they came in or as was required. Where you'd go to him, he may have been his mess dinner, he may have been in his cabin, but you always had access to him because signals generally were something important.
Did you have any dealings with the captain? Did you have any dealings with the captain very often?
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe I misheard that, but it's a general.
No. I had dealings with the Admiral on the Admiral's bridge. I said we'd be up there observing and spotting the shelling of the North Koreans. Outside that, I would be waiting on the captain with signals, etc., and or indeed the officer of the watch if it was that sort of level of communication.